Welcome to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Great to be here in studio with you today. For the audience today, do you journal or keep a diary? If you do, then you're going to get some great tips. And if you don't, then you're going to hear why you should as you listen to today's guest, Bonnie Henderson. But first, I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I've been a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation since 1999, and I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years here in Southern California. If you'd like to know more about my coaching service, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, our guest for today is Bonnie Henderson. She's going to be talking about journaling for success. Bonnie is a life skills trainer for the District Attorney's Office Diversion Program. She's also a founder of Girls with Goals, one of the fastest growing women's organizations in California last year. She has a psychology degree from California State University, Long Beach, but never worked as a clinician. Instead, she went directly from college into marketing, where she experienced tremendous success in sales and marketing. Then, after 22 years as a successful career in real estate, Bonnie discovered that she had a talent for public speaking while filming a show for HGTV. Bonnie, welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Doug.
Oh, hey, it's a pleasure. Well, look, let's jump into your background here. What did you do before you got to where you are now?
Well, most of my life was spent in the real estate industry. I had started early on as a marketing manager in the computer business. But there was a lot of travel associated with that, and it wasn't going to be a fit for a lifestyle that I wanted as a mom. So the birth of my children changed my focus, and so I went to real estate so that I could be home when they were home from school and have the flexibility that I needed to be the mom I wanted to be.
Well, you know, I like to hear that because it is all about choices. I mean, there's very few of us that have picked the ideal career without looking at how's it going to impact the other people in my life? What is it going to do? Not just me.
It was funny how that was actually a real natural fit for me, too, as a kid. I was not the one that was reading Teen Beat magazine or anything like that. I was always thinking along the lines of interior design and really valued home and family. And so when I was taking those marketing skills that I had developed as a professional corporate marketer into the real estate realm, it was a real slam dunk. It was a little bit different than the training that I received. And I was able to support my family very, very well and still be the den leader, still be the girl that took the boys camping out there in the woods and had was able to maintain some balance in a life that was very, very hectic and lucrative at the same time.
So what's the key to success in real estate from a marketing point of view?
When you're at work, work. When you're at home, don't work. You have to be able to change my role by changing my clothes. It's the oddest thing. I had my mommy clothes and I had my power suits and I didn't cross those. So I was mommy and I was in my jeans and my t-shirts, but then I threw on my big fancy suits. So when I look at corporate casual, I think, oh, that's too bad because now those lines get blurred. And that suit of armor that I used to wear used to protect me from being too emotional in my business life or too cold to my children when I was at home.
You know, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, there is a lot of studies done, I'm sure you're aware of them, that show that if we have a set place to do our work in, you know, a set environment, and that environment would include our clothes, you know, then we are more likely to get down to work quicker, to stay focused on work, rather than if we are, as so many people today, thinking that we can be totally mobile and we can be walking along the beach with our phone and be as productive as we would be.
And it's really funny because it's a challenge too, because so many people are telecommuting or working from home. And if you're in your bunny slippers, if you instead were to create that outfit as your environment, you could actually, I think, be more effective at changing gears from being that professional person that you need to be. And then going out and cooking dinner and not messing up those
I think we've got a topic for a future show, you know, because I'm sure there's a bunch of millennials out there who are going, oh, come on, I work best in my board shorts and barefoot and on the beach.
But I'm still a proponent of Dress for Success.
Okay, well, we'll get to that on another show. So After real estate, then what?
My real estate career actually came to an abrupt halt, not because of the market, but because of Alzheimer's care. We had a caregiving crisis in our family, and we needed somebody to take care of my mother-in-law. She didn't have the money for aid in attendance, which is a very expensive proposition. So, of course, me thinking that I could balance everything, why not throw another ball into the air while I'm juggling? And it all came crashing down, and where we had to let that go is my work. And I focused on her needs, and my husband was our breadwinner then. And when I got to the other side of the caregiving dilemma, I wasn't the same girl. So it took some more introspection, and that's how journaling came into play, to try and understand, geez, what happened to me? I'm no longer the blonde, flippy hair girl with the fancy cars. I'm thinking different. I feel differently about the world. So now what?
We need to get into that more, because really you're talking about a change in identity and how you deal with that.
I know it almost sounds like a midlife crisis, but it really was almost like a crisis internally, that I couldn't continue to be the person that I was, and I really didn't know who the new one was either. And so when I started to ask myself some questions about what's important to me and what I care about, that's when I started to discover that maybe I could move into another direction. And of course, networking and knowing a lot of people, found this position. I just started part-time doing these instructions with the district attorney's office.
Okay, so that brings us up to date. So what is it you do with the district attorney's office?
What I do with the district attorney's office, and it's not just here in Orange County, it's all over the country, is I teach basic life skills. Some of the most popular classes are financial skills, which are right up my alley because of my background, but also things like anger management and managing negative emotions, managing our stress, and goal setting and accountability.
Okay, and how do you teach these and who do you teach them to?
Well, we do a combination of live classes here locally. So I'll sometimes go out and teach live, which I love doing that because I love being able to see the feedback and the expression on their face. But for the most part, we're teaching, and it's getting to be more and more popular, via webinar. Uh-huh. And I do a heck of a webinar. My partner and I have discovered that we are pretty entertaining as a team. When I tell a joke, she laughs, and we are able to deliver information, but we take full advantage of all of the functionality of a webinar. So a lot of times if you've taken a webinar, they're boring as heck. And they ask you for feedback, and you're pushing buttons. But you know darn well nobody's on the other end. Nobody cares what your response is. I almost felt like a little rat pushing the button to get a pellet just so I could advance. But that's not the case in ours. Our webinars actually open dialogue. And so we have people from Manhattan, the Bay Area, Mississippi, Kentucky, you name it. They're all in that same webinar having a dialogue about the discussion at hand.
Now, who is the clientele in the webinar?
Generally, it's first-time offenders, but our company actually works with probation department, too, and different people who have had a run-in with the law, let's say. It's usually somebody who is a first-time, and we just don't want to make the same mistake twice. And so it gives them an opportunity to learn from the mistake, tackle some self-improvement or self-growth issues, and most are very grateful. And the thing is, I'm grateful too, because every week I get something from those webinars too, and I heal inside too.
You know, and Bonnie was explaining this to me before the show started, which totally threw me 180 degrees, because in looking at your bio, when you said you do training for the district attorney's office, I was thinking you train people in the district attorney's office. And then she started this conversation with first-time offenders, and I'm thinking, what kind of district attorney people do we have? But it's their clients, not...
And one of the things that I learned dealing with first-time offenders, because going in, you know, as that person who never really had any experience with the correctional facilities or the criminal system, I had some predisposed notions that these people were somewhat different than me. And what I found out is they're exactly like me, and they're exactly like you, Doug. The thing is that mostly when you get yourself backed into a corner that you have run out of options, sometimes people make a choice that has a catastrophic effect. And so how we turn that around and become resilient and bring ourselves back to where we want to be and how we make a correction. I mean, even looking at things like, how do I make an apology or make restitution? How do I make something that I did wrong right again? What an amazing journey that is.
Wow. Well, I applaud you for what you're doing, and it is a unique audience when you're dealing with first-time offenders. I had the privilege of serving on a board of directors for the Assessment Treatment Service Center, mm-hmm. which was a juvenile diversion program mm-hmm. dealing with juveniles that were first-time offenders, trying to help them and their families before they got put into the system.
Right.
And it was rewarding, it was challenging, and it is a learning experience.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
And I learned there, but by the grace of God, go I. That's the truth.
Yeah. Now, that's not the only thing you're doing. So what else are you doing?
Well,
you've got a smorgasbord of activities.
I do. Well, what I did was those webinars then is what prompted me now to take the message a little bit further. And they were saying, too bad I had to get in trouble to learn this. I wished I had learned this years ago. How come we don't have classes like this? And so I thought, well, let's see, if I started a little group, let me see if anybody would be interested. So I started this meetup group called Girls with Goals, focused on goal setting and accountability. And I was thinking, a couple dozen women, I'll make some new friends, I'll get more clarity on my goals. And 975 women later,
wow. Like,
it's only been around since September. And I'm now the fastest growing women's organization in Orange County, not in Orange County, in California right now. I'm surpassing every professional organization out there as far as membership growth. And they're actually participating. They're actually coming to hear these speakers speak. The biggest problem we have is finding a venue.
Now, is this different than your webinars, which are virtual? Is this real, real meetings? Or
these are live, actual meetings. I don't teach all of these things. No one can create that kind of content and that frequently. So what I've allowed it to happen is become a place where, like you're saying, coaches from different areas and different areas of expertise can come and share their knowledge with this same group or base and speak on different areas. So we've had everything from career coaching, career planners. We've had business coaches who will teach things on bookkeeping and how to keep track of finances. We've had coaches teaching on all different kinds of levels, not just coaches, psychologists,
right?
Experts in various fields. And then also I'm posting a lot of the small business administration classes as well that I feel like the entrepreneurial public in my group would benefit from. So we're going to all go over and learn about Google AdWords and things like that and take advantage of the benefits of the SBA trainings as well.
You are, my impression, Bonnie, is you are an educational junkie. If there's something new, you want to learn all about it.
Aren't we all supposed to be lifelong learners?
Oh, I love it. I hope I am. Well, look, that's kind of brings us up to date. Let me ask you another question, and we've asked every guest that we've had on the show this question. What is it that is your guiding principle? What is it that it keeps you going in the right direction in difficult times?
I would say that what I look to always is staying true, being honest in truth. And if there's confusion in my life, it's generally been because either A, someone has not given me the facts, or I've deceived myself. And I think that's where, you know, tying back to what we do with a journal, is that very often we're not being honest with ourselves. And it's a place that we can actually look to ourselves and ask ourselves the questions. It's a litmus test for my thoughts.
Oh, what a nice tie-in. So honest and true, and you accomplish it through your journaling, partly.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's a great tie-in. But look, we're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to have a commercial, and then we'll come back to it. But first, we'll do this at the end of the show, but just in case, how do people get in touch with you? How do they find out about your women's group and any of the other things you're doing?
The best way to find out what we're doing is actually to go to the Santiago Canyon College Community Services Department. You can find our classes there, or you can find them through Parks and Recreation through the City of Tustin. The classes are now available everywhere, all over Orange County.
Okay. And how about people, our audience might be interested in your women's group?
That's on Meetup.
That's on Meetup.
Uh-huh. Okay. If you go to, just type in on Meetup, go for goals and the city Tustin. We're the number one there. And I think we have like a gold ribbon of like a high honored, highly recommended group on the Meetup system. So that's probably the best way to see what the agenda is for the guest speakers and the different conferences and workshops that we have.
Okay, great. Well, look, let's take a quick break for a commercial and then we'll be right back.
Do you have a desire to be a part of a conscious community? I mean a community of people who get together with the purpose of strengthening their awareness muscles, deepening their relationships, and striving for the extraordinary? Check out how to get started at productivelearning.com. We are a unique self-development company, and we believe that we all have the innate ability to create and live the lives we truly want. But we also know that ability needs to be nurtured and developed. That's why we offer over 40 different workshops to our conscious community. Workshops that intentionally stretch you beyond your comfort zone towards what you truly want. Our workshops are not ordinary. We take journeys across the world from exotic scuba diving trips to rich cultural getaways. And we offer amazing workshops right here in South Orange County. Join us and find out just how extraordinary life can be. Go to productivelearning.com today or call Lisa Reed at 949-234-0628. To see how you can be a part of our conscious community, that's productivelearning.com or 949-234-0628.
Hey, that wasn't just a commercial. That was my good friend Lisa Reed, one of the great networking people of Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're sitting here today talking to Bonnie Henderson. And Bonnie, thank you very much for being here today.
It's my pleasure.
We've kind of covered the background, but we're at the topic that we want to talk about now, which is all about journaling. What do we want to talk about? Journaling for Success. That's an interesting title.
The reason why I call it a success journal rather than a diary, because I've also often heard journals referred to as a diary, I think that there's a difference, and there's a defining difference between a journal and a diary. A diary generally is a free form, flowing kind of stream of consciousness exploration in my book. But a success journal, I call a book of thoughtful words that help us to be the best we can be. And there are lots of different purposes that we can have, because special interest journals, for example, let's say a business journal, where you're going to be tracking some business ideas, making sure that followed up on are followed up on, or that there's a creativity that needs to go in the creation of new products and services. A journal is a great way to do that. But even when we look at our relationships, or we look at any part of our life that needs improvement, a great place to do it is to start by thinking on paper.
Okay. And give us some tips on journaling. So your definition here, diary is more emotional outpouring, if I heard you right. Journal for Success is more inspirational.
Right. It's very solution-oriented approach to keeping track of thoughts. Because I'll give you an example.
Please.
I had kept a journal when I was a teenager, and I did never liked going back to read that girl's entries because it was full of teenage angst and drama and all that stuff, and there was nothing really edifying for me going back and hearing that. But a big mistake that I made as an adult woman was I put a rant on paper to my husband. I was mad at him, and I've been married to him for 30 years now, because you can tell now I was a child bride, right?
Oh, yes. Got it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So now in the course of 30 years, of course, there's some friction that'll occur, and I was mad at him, and I was writing about that I can't count on him. And then I created a litany of all the times he'd let me down over the course of, 20-some-odd years. And I had written all of that in anger, and there it was, on paper. He read it a year later, and I tell you, he was hurt. And I thought that was a big mistake, and that I'd never want to do again, because it didn't make my life better. It wasn't edifying in any way. It was self-indulgent, and I think sometimes maybe if I want to go on a rant, putting it in a spiral ring notebook, writing a rant down so that I could tear it out, crumble it up, tear it into a million pieces and let it go. But I don't want that to be something that's part of the legacy of what I am or who I am. That was a passing moment, and it didn't have anything to do with who I am or the relationship, for example, that I have with my husband. And that's why I say keep that journal positive and solution-oriented. If you were to misplace it and someone were to open it up, they'd be inspired by the words and not be hurt or look at your, you know, at the writer as somebody who is not as positive a person as they'd like to be.
Now, you used a term I want to understand better. You talked about a legacy journal.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? What is it? It makes me think that there is a purpose for the journal beyond my just getting my thoughts on paper at this instant, that there is a longer term other purpose.
Sure, it's a documentation. It's documenting your life the same way as a photo album documents your children growing up. And as you go back and you look back on those photographs, it brings back the memories and the processes of them growing up. That journal is a way for you to document the life that you're living and the process that's going in to build what you're doing today. It's also a way we look into the future and bring that into our present tense. Doug, do you keep a journal?
I do. You asked me this and I had to think. I've kept a journal for 40 years. It's been an ongoing practice of mine to keep a daily journal for business purposes. And, of course, other than business things get in it. And you asked me what the format was, and I generally have used spiral-bound notebooks because that's the way I was taught originally, because you don't tear out the pages, you leave them in there. And I write down what's going on during the day on the right-hand side, and the left-hand side is reserved for my scribbles, my doodles, my pictures. And what I find is when I go back later to look at the journal, many times the scribbles on the left-hand side provide a better recall what was going on than what I wrote.
That's actually why I started journaling, too, is that I was noticing, like, even when I looked back at my notes when I was in school, I was always a doodler.
Oh, yeah. Everybody does.
But my doodles weren't even pertinent to what was going on, the discussion there. And so what I did was I tried to challenge myself to focus those etchings or doodles so that I was more engaged in what was going on around me, because there were times when I was bored out of my mind and I thought if I could just engage and if I could be proactively involved in the discussion that was going on. So then I started actually writing words more than drawing faces, smiley faces, or flowers, or, you know.
I'm not very good at drawing, so I'm not tempted to do much of that.
So are yours generally, your doodles are words?
But they're words, and they're words that aren't, they're not sentences. My doodles are just words.
Words.
Just words that trigger a thought, an idea, or a feeling to me later on.
And these journals can actually be very, very creative, too, because one of the benefits that happened in my early career, I told you I was a marketing manager early on. And while my journaling wasn't formal, I started actually knowing that it was a good idea to make notes, especially when you're working in a creative field. And so one day I was driving into work and I was sitting in traffic, and I was working as a marketing manager for a computer manufacturing, well, a component. So we were selling Macintosh accelerators, right?
Okay.
Real glamorous. But I was listening to the radio and there was a shoe commercial, and afterwards they said, available at these fine retailers. I wrote that down because that was like this epiphany moment, like, why aren't we doing that? And so we changed. I didn't go running into the office with this great new idea, but it became the basis of one of the best ideas I ever had in marketing, where we actually spread the cost of our product marketing out to our retail affiliates.
Oh.
And it was probably one of the most successful campaigns I'd ever run. And I just wrote down that one little phrase that struck me and then created something from it. So having a place to write them down is a great idea.
Well, and you know, I think you bring up a key point with a journal, is that as much as I, let's say, am trying to stay totally focused on you right now, you're going to say something and it's going to make me think of something that's totally unrelated to this radio broadcast. And if I jot that down, then later on I can utilize that idea.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't jot it down, it's gone.
Or the opposite happens and we start ruminating. And I've got to tell you something, that was also something that can happen, because let's say I have an important idea on my mind and I don't write it down and I don't want to forget it, so now I'll start to repeat it. And I'll repeat it. And I'll repeat it. And I'll repeat it. And so now I am not able to really focus
right
on the present moment, the task at hand, right? Because I'm trying so hard to remember and remember the thing that I needed to write down and I didn't. And so, yeah, it's another cure for that, which would be the inability to focus because something has caught my eye, but I need to stay on track what I'm doing right now. It's a great way to, you know, stay focused in present moment too.
One of the habits that I have, and I've never really given a lot of formal thought to journaling, so you've triggered some things here, but one of my habits is at the end of the month, I go back through my journal. And I relive it page by page, and I create a carry forward list.
Interesting. So you're very, very to-do oriented in your journaling.
Some of it is things to do. Some of it's things to think about. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm to-do. I mean, I have a three-ring binder that is labeled ideas.
Nice.
That there's a page for the next new multi-million dollar deal that I'll never do.
One of the best experts I'd ever heard about this subject is actually Jim Rohn. Have you heard of him?
No, I haven't.
He was, and actually I think you can still hear his lectures on YouTube. He talked about some of the processes that he came up with for himself. And he used to carry three journals, one for ideas, one for this, and one for the other thing. And what he said is the system that worked best for him is taking that journal when he first got it and divide it into subsections. Like, these are, you know, wild ideas. These are marketing. And this one is, you know, family,
yeah,
for example, or motivational phrases, what I've read, etc. And so by creating some special purpose categories that are especially, like, let's say, an immediate goal, you can have one section of your journal that's, you know, maybe starting from the back moving forward and the front moving back. And when you get to the middle, I guess it's time to get a new journal. But hopefully there'll be enough great ideas to fill that book and you do hit the center. And that's the thing, is staying consistent about it and trying to find a format that will work. Because for me, too, Jim Rohn liked, you know, the $26 leather bound journal. And for me, I find that intimidating. For me, the spiral ring notebooks are the place where I like to write them too. Because if I've gotten off track too far, I love that I can tear a page out, throw it in the garbage where it belongs, and move forward.
Interesting. You know, one of the things you mentioned to me about journaling that really kind of jumped out at me is something I hadn't thought about, is you said ask yourself questions in your journal.
Oh, gosh,
talk
yeah.
Talk to me about that. I hadn't thought about that.
I look at a blank page and all I think is, what am I going to write? So one of the things that I started with, and so that I could get more consistent, because if I only wait for inspiration to hit me, then I've got this great big, you know, oozing entry. But if I want to be consistent and I really want to keep on track, the five minute journal basically it consists of just asking yourself 3, 4, 5 questions in the morning, first thing as you get up. The one that I love, the format that I'm using right now, is yesterday, what did I do? Right now, how do I feel? And today, what's the single most important thing I need to get done today? Once you've answered those three, your pen is flowing and your thoughts are moving in that direction. And they also keep you, number one, you've kind of loosened up, the pen is flowing, and might actually create for you the catalyst to ask even more questions.
Okay, so let's recap again, because I was listening to you, not writing.
Well, yes.
What are the three questions that you...
yesterday, present moment, and then what do I need to do today? So I go, yesterday, what did I do? How do I feel right now? And you can subtext that one with, what am I grateful for right now if where I'm feeling isn't so great? And what is the single most important thing I need to do today? Once you've written those three down, you're on a roll.
How do you use your journal during the day? Or is this something you do just first thing in the morning, last thing at night? Or is it with you all day?
I generally keep it at home first thing in the morning.
Okay.
But I do always have a spiral ring notebook handy for myself so that I write ideas down during the day. And then what the ones that are like, oh, geez, this is a journal entry, or it might even be a question, or it might be a phrase, because some things that I put in there too, I'm trying to get a more humorous point of view in life. Not that I'm a serious person. It's just I wanted to see more fun out there. I wanted to see, you know, what was funny and silly. And when you're more observant, right? And so that's one of the goals. One of the questions now that I ask myself on a daily basis is, what was the funniest thing I heard yesterday? And so, yeah, as I look through that and I think, oh, well, that was pretty good. And I start seeking it out, because if I haven't got anything to write there, then maybe instead of watching the news, I might put on the stand-up comedy show, because I needed to feel like, you know what, if I'm dragging around here and I am not, you know, feeling joy in my life, I need to be doing something proactively to increase the joy in my life. So if that means I have to turn on Comedy Central so I have something to put down that was funny that I heard today, that at least I'll have a source to go to.
You mentioned a term, building momentum versus attraction. What are we talking about there?
Yes, our journal can be part of that entire process. Because when we start turning it around to be something more positive, right, that we can actually start building up some momentum and moving ourselves from where we are to where we want to be. Because I hear a lot of times, because now in my line of work, I was in my little bubble just, you know, teaching for the company that I worked for. And now I've branched out and started reaching out to the public and also to the coaching community. And I start hearing a lot of them talking about the law of attraction. And I keep thinking to myself, gee, that's a little short-sighted. Because there's also that whole concept that sometimes some really bad things happen to very good people. And there's no way you attracted a child's leukemia. And that guy in Oklahoma did not attract that tornado. Although the choice to live in Oklahoma might have had something to do with it. And so there are things that happen in life. And so I lean more towards the serenity prayer, right? Being able to discern right. those things that are within our control, accept those things, and change the things we can. So I was wondering, what are your thoughts on laws of attraction, momentum?
Well, you know, I hadn't thought about the term as momentum, but one of the ways that I use journaling for my coaching clients is to help them create greater awareness of what's going on in their life. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if I'm working with somebody that is having a difficult time in their job, then keeping a journal and making sure you're aware of what made you happy, what made you unhappy in your job today, would start to help them identify what is the environment that they're looking for, what is the environment that's toxic to them. So that awareness is in a sense building momentum. Mm-hmm. By creating the awareness, they build a momentum to be positive about change, or to be positive about recognizing that things aren't as bad as I tend to think they are.
Oh, sure. And you can't solve a problem unless you can identify it first. And
absolutely.
And sometimes our emotions are just clouding our executive judgment so badly that we can't even put our finger on what the problem is. It's just, it's bad, it's bad. That's all I can tell you, it's bad, you know.
So, you know, so that would be my take on momentum. On attraction, I kind of get to the point that if you understand, if you know what you want, you will tend to find more opportunities to achieve it in terms of goals. It's sort of like the example we've all heard about, I decide that I'm going to buy a new car and I'm going to get a yellow car because nobody has one. And the minute I decide that, from that point on, all I see on the road is yellow cars. Where were they before?
Right.
Now
these
everybody's
filters,
got a yellow
right?
car. Yeah.
We've got these filters and we do that internally as well.
Absolutely. And so the journaling is a way of helping you to identify what are you filtering out,
mm-hmm.
you know, by being more observant. And by being more observant, then you can start to attract, or the term I would tend to use is, you can start to create a perception where you'll take advantage of the opportunities that you hadn't seen.
Or you just notice. that you're just noticing now.
Oh, that's
things that
I
you
like
didn't
to use a
notice
bigger word,
before.
But just yeah. notice is right.
Yeah, that yeah. it was probably there all along, but I wasn't really noticing it
yeah.
because I was busy off looking at, you know, something else. But when we allow something to grab our attention and give it the attention, and it usually is a crisis of some sort that causes us, you know, when some kind of change causes that change moment, whether it's a crisis or a big change. And suddenly, as change approaches, we have to make some more introspective looks at what is it that I do want, right?
Yeah.
And how do we get to that point where we can make a cohesive, coherent statement to ourselves about what is it that I want?
See, I go through life thinking that you are never too old to ask yourself the question, what do I want to be when I grow up? Okay? Because I think the minute you decide you've grown up, you've lost all the fun.
Right, and what about when you get old? Oh my gosh, right?
Old is strictly, you know, is strictly how you look at things.
I know, and that's the funny thing is I keep telling people, I love being old. I feel like I am old, I'm hoping there's some wisdom that came along with that. I said, I have not had this much fun in my life because now that all of the responsibilities that I've had, raising children, I've only been an empty nester for a couple of years now. So my husband and I are back to dating now, where we actually go out and the focus is on each other. That the amount of people who are demanding things of me is now completely taken away. There's just him, me, and a fuzzy dog. And other than that, my time is mine. And I get to make choices that aren't really based on the kids' needs or the mother-in-law's needs or the elder care, that these are actually me able to
so introspection on what
make
is
new
it you
choices.
Want. Yeah.
Sure.
What
and when I was first an empty nester, people said, oh, now you get to do what you want. What do you like to do? And I'm like, I don't know. I've always done what everybody else needed to do. And so going through that exploration of what are the things that I love to do? What are the things I'm good at? Surprise! Who would have ever thought this, right?
Bonnie, let me bring you back to format for a minute. Mm-hmm. You mentioned when you and I were talking, I don't think you mentioned on the air, is spelling or word choice important? How formal do I have to get? I find sometimes when I journal, I can't read it later. You know, that's really
right,
sad.
Right. Yeah, and that's not how I journal because I tend to be a perfectionist. And when I taught the Journaling for Success class the first time, you'd have thought that the whole room that I had just, you know, made the most controversial statement in the world when I said, yes, that grammar is important. And so what I say in my class is, when given a choice between the more colorful word, even if you can't spell it, use that word.
I like that.
If you don't know how to spell it, though, put it in a parentheses and go back and look it up later because that word's meaningful. And as you are doing this writing, you'll become a better communicator and, who knows, maybe even a better speller.
Okay, now the idea that you have to correct your own spelling almost implies that you're not using a computer because everything's spell checked these days.
I don't think a computer is the right place to journal.
Is that?
Because there's that cathartic piece where we are actually doing a tangible evidence is here in our hand. Something about the computer is it goes out into the ethos and we're never going to open that document again. And there's something about having something tangible in your hand and that pen. I don't know if you noticed too, like the pen pressure as it's hitting the paper when it's something intense is a little bit heavier. And when we're a little bit more lighthearted in our approach, there's a little more flourish on the L. And it just becomes a more tangible, and it's almost like that first act of writing that thing down is my first action item to make that thought more real.
I hate to say it, but I agree with you completely. You know, I tried to give up my spiral-bound notebooks and do it all on a computer.
I did too.
And when the computer wasn't convenient, and I like to take notes when I'm out and around with clients, I tried to do it on my iPad. But I finally gave it up and said, okay, there are some forms I fill out, like coaching notes for a client. I've got a standard form I use, and that's all computerized. but I still carry my little book to journal in.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%.
I can't get creative on the computer.
Right, and the thing is with the computer, I'm not a dinosaur. I do webinars, for goodness sake. I blog now. That's what I do, right? I love the beautiful technology that we have. And in fact, another hobby that I picked up in my old age is photography. And so I'm learning to use Photoshop and the beautiful technologies that are able to make the artistic Bonnie be able to be more expressive. There's nothing about the computer that I find negative except for this. When I write something that's important, like my journal, I want it to have it tangible. I want to be able to touch it and I want to be able to feel it. Our relationships, we have a lot of friends on Facebook, and those friends, that's fun. But if you don't have companionship and you don't have another physical person sitting next to you, there's a sense of loneliness that occurs in our culture now that we've never had before, and yet we have 600 friends on Facebook. But having the reality of the thing, being very tangible, being right here, where you can hold the hand of the person that you love, that you can hold the book that is your dreams, that's very important. Use the computer for other stuff.
Now, I just want a word of caution for the audience here. She is talking about your journal. She's not talking about listening to this radio show. She's not talking about listening to our podcast. That is tangible. We are friends. I'm holding your hand.
Yeah, we are. No, I do agree that technology is wonderful. We can get more information. There's so much information at our fingertips that we can explore all over the place. But that tangible act of making our dreams, making our thoughts something real and real tangible. And the other part is because you can't hit a backspace button when that ink dries. Yeah. Now you're going to have to justify what you put on that paper. It's going to have to stand a litmus test. Is this idea worth expressing, or was this just some crazy plan? And I've done that too. I've got some really bad ideas I've jotted down, and thank God I did, because boy, they hit the trash can after a day or two. You know, I created a business plan that lasted like, I don't know, 2 hours, and I think, thank God I never spent one dime on this bonehead idea, pulled those pages out, threw them in the trash, and ended it. But the thoughts of it were swirling for almost 2 weeks, thinking, you know, this is a really good idea. But then when I put any kind of numbers on that idea, it was like, ugh, that's ridiculous. It's got to go.
Well, look, we're getting close to running out of time, and I want to give you some time to sort of recap or cover anything that you didn't get a chance to cover. What are the key points you really want the audience to walk away with?
The main thing is why. Why do we journal? Keeping track of ideas. It's a great place to write out our goals and our dreams and get to know ourselves and ask ourselves those questions, because sometimes we have a good idea, sometimes we don't. But interview yourself and understand that your story needs to stand the litmus test of your own questioning. It helps to keep us mindful. It helps to keep us grateful. It helps us understand ourselves. And that's why I love it.
Wonderful. Well, I'll tell you, you touched me with this because you've made me think of some of the benefits of the journaling that I've always done, that I've just done out of habit.
And, isn't that amazing? With no formal training, and me either. I think most people will know to jot something down. But to take it a little bit further, bind it up and make it a piece of your history, that's something else.
Great. Okay, so again, before we lose anybody, how do people find you? Are they going to find you on Facebook?
Well, the Journaling for Success.
Or LinkedIn?
The Journaling for Success class you're going to find through the campuses. So you'll find them Santiago Canyon College, the Department of Community Services, and you'll find them on the City of Tustin Parks and Recreation. We'll have Journaling for Success offered through the Parks and Recreation Department this summer. And if you want to go beyond journaling and start talking about all kinds of issues, Girls with Goals meets twice a month on Mondays. We are a traveling show. We are all over the place trying to find venues that are large enough to hold the number of people that want to come and hear these beautiful messages from experts around the county.
Okay, and I find Girls with Goals through
Meetup.
Okay,
for now.
For now. for now. I think you are the only guest I've had that is not pumping or saying that we can find you through your website or through your LinkedIn or Facebook. So,
yeah, I'm sorry. Well, you know, I've got a regular job. This is more of an avocation. This is something that's a passion.
Okay, I'm glad it's we brought
not,
that out.
Yeah, it's not a real money maker or anything like that. My family calls it a secular ministry. It's me reaching out with just something that's really powerfully on my heart that I think is so beneficial. And as we start to you know, as we get older and we start to share, you know, some of the wisdom and knowledge out there, it is actually something that is just out there for me to share. Although I did form Girls with Goals LLC is now on file officially as of this week. The paper just came in, so we'll see what happens. I don't know. Maybe I'm the reluctant entrepreneur.
Well, Bonnie, thank you very much for being with us today. This has certainly been a pleasure. I'll look forward to you keeping us posted on what Girls with Goals is doing. That is what a...
I know.
That's a movement.
It is.
You know, when you get 1,000 people.
It's the beginning of what I believe one of the most positive things. There's a real sense of positivity that I sense all around me. I know we can get bogged down in the media, in the negativity, but even my husband, he works in, let's say, career ministry at our church, and he's going, wow, the crowds are thinning. Things are getting better, and people know it. And they don't want to be left behind, and so how we get in on making something positive happen and not staying bogged down in the losses that were from the past and make tomorrow better, I think people are ready. And that's why I think this thing is really taken off.
Great. Well, look, thank you for being with us. And welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio community.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check our archives for other shows with some other great guests. In fact, next week our guest will be Stephanie Paul, who's going to be talking about Advance Your Connection and Master Your Message. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be in the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, HR professionals, anybody who has an interesting topic to share with our audience, just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope that you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can journal and put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.